You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
It's a new day, and I'm the Palmer. We're talking with Andrew Columbia, former New York cop. He's now Pastor Andrew Columbia, Andrew Columbia Ministries. And good morning, Pastor Andrew Columbia. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, Brett. Thank you very much for having me on the program today.
Now, I noticed that you have a book out. Would you tell us the title of your book?
Sure. The title of my book is Transformed, and the subtitle is How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop.
Oh, well, wow. That sounds really intense. Yeah, and so what years were you a cop?
I was a police officer from 1987 to 1997.
Was that in New York City or where?
In the Lower East Side of Manhattan, Alphabet City, New York City.
Wow, I mean, that's quite a beat to have. I mean, wow, that's a scary thing unto itself, being a cop in New York City. So let's hear your story. I want to hear how you were converted to a saving knowledge of Jesus.
Well, Rhett, you know, there's a lot to the story. Let me start by saying this. I grew up in Staten Island, New York, which is a suburb of New York City, which basically is, you know, middle-class, blue-collar town. And I did not know inner-city lifestyle at all. I didn't know about the hood, the ghettos, the drug culture. I mean, I grew up in suburbia and, you know, basically normal kid for the most part, played sports, athletics. My father was a New York City police officer. Some of my uncles were police officers. So when I was young, 20 years old, I was in college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I took the test, and I got called to be a police officer. And when I first got hired, you go through the academy for 9 months, and then you get your first assignment, which was called NSU, Neighborhood Stabilization Unit. It was training for 6 months after the academy, field training in the street. And when I got that assignment, it was in Staten Island, New York, where I wanted to work, where I lived and grew up. So my goal, my ambition was to stay in Staten Island as a police officer. But as it happened, that wasn't the case. During my field training, one of the sergeants that was training me didn't like my attitude. He said I was too aggressive, too rough. He didn't like the way I interacted with certain circumstances. So when the field training was over, he said, I'm shipping you to the Fighting Ninth. And I said, where's that? He goes, the Lower East Side of New York City, just where you belong. So when he said that to me, I wasn't too happy about it. And I called my father, and I said, Dad, they're shipping me to the Ninth Precinct. And my father giggled a little bit, and he said, well, you'll learn a lot there. That's going to be a real good learning experience for you, working in the Ninth Precinct in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Now, remember, in the 80s is when crack cocaine came out. And in the Lower East Side, where I worked in that area, it was loaded with crack cocaine and heroin and drugs. So Operation Pressure Point, that's when Rudy Giuliani started Operation Pressure Point, and there was so many drug arrests in that area because of the epidemic of crack cocaine and heroin. It was just insane. And being somebody from the suburbs, a young man, I was only 21 now, immersed in the inner city of New York, you better believe it was culture shock. You know, I did not understand the culture, the dynamics of the culture in so many ways. One was it was a very mixed community. What I say by that is ethnicity-wise. In the Lower East Side of Manhattan, in Alphabet City, and where I worked, it was a one-mile radius. The precinct was 1 mile from East Houston Street to East 14th Street, from the FDR Drive to Broadway. And within that one-mile radius, Rhett, there were several different cultures on every other block. You had Italian culture, you had Spanish culture, you had Polish, You had Russian, Ukrainian. You had Chinese. You had Indian. I mean, that area was a complete melting pot. There was just so many different cultures immersed in that small environment. And in the projects, there was a projects area, which was called Alphabet City, Avenue A, B, C, and D. There were high-rise apartment buildings. And, you know, most of the people who lived in those high-rise apartment buildings were Hispanic and African American. And, again, the drug culture was so great during that time. I grew up in Staten Island in a predominantly white community, like 90% white community. You know, I'm Italian and Irish by heritage, and I grew up with all people like me. It was Italian, Irish, and Jewish was Staten Island. That's what I grew up with. So being immersed in the inner city and being put in a diverse culture that I knew nothing about, and the dynamics of that culture was so different, and then dealing with the drug issues, the overdoses, the violence, the crime, it really messed with me on a personal level. It was very hard for me to handle that without it affecting me personally. And you know, we talked a little bit about PTSD, and that's something that a lot of officers get, post-traumatic stress disorder, and it comes from the job, dealing with traumatic events over and over again, not processing them correctly, and learning how to handle them correctly creates anger, bitterness, depression, all these symptoms. So the way most cops deal with these things, Rhett, is drinking. You know, you work, you're dealing with all these different events. I'm a young guy. I'm seeing people OD. I'm seeing shootings, all kinds of stuff. And then how you handle it is after work, you go to the bar and you drink with the fellas. And you talk amongst yourself. And then you go home and you don't talk about it with your family. You don't want to take the job home. So it creates an isolated environment and a very controlled environment and lifestyle for the officer. So, you know, you're trying to live your life with your family when you go home one way, and then when you're at work, you're seeing a totally different environment and culture. Well, it not only messed with me personally, but it messed with my belief system because, you know, I grew up Catholic, always believed in God and Jesus, you know, but when I was constantly seeing what I saw day in and day out, the crime, the violence, the drugs, the immoral lifestyles, the stuff that I saw, it really made me question God and get angry at God. I was like, you know, God, where are you? Why are these people so messed up? You know, why are people so, you know, such in bad ways here? And then I started questioning myself. Why am I so messed up? So the environment was toxic for me, and not being taught how to deal with it properly, except hang out with the buddies and drink, you know, talk a little bit amongst your peers, and then stuff it down. Don't bring it home. Don't talk to your wife about it. Don't tell your family about it. I had an outlet with my father, obviously, and his brothers, because they were also officers, but I was young, and I had my own crew that I hung out with and my own friends. So for me, this was like building one step at a time, causing me to get toxic, angry, bitter. I shared in the subtitle of my book that I used to be prejudiced. You know, I'm real. I'm being real. I grew up in the suburbs. I'm a white guy in the suburbs, immersed into the inner city. We all are, you know, taught some prejudices in life. And then seeing what I saw in the Lower East Side, in the culture and atmosphere I was in, it just reinforced those prejudices. So I was not the best cop. I wasn't the most liked cop. I didn't always treat people well. I had a reputation for being aggressive, physical, and even violent. I worked out a lot. I was into bodybuilding, weightlifting. I was strong. And, you know, I also wanted to protect myself and go home at the end of the day to my family. And I was young, and I got married young and had a kid right away. So, you know, I was trying to balance life with work and family.
Now, it seems like, from my objectivity here, that you had great favor with God, and I'll tell you why. First of all, this guy in the training, talent is rare. More rare is talent that recognizes talent. And obviously this man who sent you to this precinct, your teacher, he had great wisdom in sending you there. I personally see the hand of God in this, because it's almost like an alcoholic has to reach their bottom. And if they don't reach the bottom of the barrel, they will never get healed and they will die. You've got to reach that bottom. And this is conjecture on Rhett Palmer's part, but I think I know the way my father works somewhat. And although his ways are not our ways, I think he absolutely used that man to send you there and said, this is where this guy belongs. Even your father had the wisdom. He may not have said it, but I think he knew this is probably where you needed to go. And if it wasn't for all this, maybe you wouldn't have become the deep believer in Jesus that you are, and affecting all these lives in a positive way. And it's great. I mean, the fact that you can come forward and say, you know, we've all had prejudices. I mean, for anybody to try to say they didn't have prejudice. Now, I will say this. I was brought up and raised in Poughkeepsie.
You're not far from where I am now. I'm in Carmel, New York. Poughkeepsie's only a half hour from me.
And I was not brought, I mean, I didn't know the Jewish people supposedly had big noses until I saw David Brenner on The Tonight Show. So I learned the attributes of a Jew from the Jews. And all the jokes and everything else. My first black teacher was a fourth grade Mr. James in Poughkeepsie, New York. But even that, I mean, his skin was dark, but I was never taught prejudice, so I had no bitterness. But I can see where you would, because and it's great that you come forth in your honesty, because honesty is disarming, and that's why the Lord says, confess your sins one to another. If we could all just get honest, this sounds like a great process. Now, you're a cop, you're young, you're married, you're really cock-a-doodle-doo, you're going to go out there and you're going to be the savior of the street, and you're going to be a really good cop. What finally brought you to your knees? I want you to continue your story. You're doing a great job of telling your story. By the way, I do want to let people know the title of your book again, though, and I'll ask you this from time to time. What is the title of your book?
It is Transformed. And if you want a copy of it, you can get it on Amazon. You can order it right on Amazon, either in a soft cover, or you can order it digital.
And that's by Pastor Andrew Columbia, or does it just say Andrew Columbia?
Just says Andrew Columbia.
Okay, Andrew Columbia. Okay, now let's go back to where we left. You're young, you're married, and you're working out, and pretty confident guy. Some might even say borderline arrogance, right? And you're prejudiced towards black people and maybe Hispanics or whatever. Continue your conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, you hit it right on. You know, so I'm continuing to try to figure it out and find balance between work and home. Not going too well. Having some problems at home also with anger.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.